The law of sedition is a remnant of colonial times. Does India still need it 75 years after independence? That's the question that Chief Justice of India, N.V. Ramana, asked Modi government's Attorney General in Supreme Court last Thursday. Good question. So this week's National Interest takes this debate forward. And to begin with, we raise a question about the CJI's question. That the fact that this is a law from colonial times, is that the nub of the issue? But before I get there, let me also remind you, because democracy needs a free press, a free, independent, unhyphenated press. Unhyphenated press means organizations that do classical journalism, neither left nor right. That is what we try to do. And you know what? It costs money. That's the reason I keep making these frequent appeals to you. And I'm encouraged by your response, so I'll continue doing so. So once again, this is a call to take a subscription to the print.in. If you have a subscription, renew it. If you already have a monthly subscription, please also tell your friends, your family, spread the word. Because you know, what does the Washington Post say on its masthead? Democracy dies in darkness. So what is it that brings light in a democracy? It is good journalism. So you have a stake in good journalism. Take a subscription. And if you live overseas, I know many of you ask me questions, can you also subscribe? You can subscribe for sure, because we do not take donations. We are not a tax-free charity. Everything that we earn is revenue. It is offered to tax. So please do subscribe in whichever part of the world you live, because you remember that when chips are down, India still has a great news media, and that news media has to be kept running by people like you. Having said that, back to the main issue today, that is the sedition law. Now, I'm saying that this is at the nub of the issue, that this is inherited from colonial times, because in India, including neighboring countries, most of our laws are inherited from colonial times, from the British, notably the Indian Penal Code. That was actually promulgated in 1860, within a couple of years of the British government actually taking over from East India Company. In fact, Indian Penal Code was in the works since 1834, even when the East India Company was controlling India. So that those laws continue, and so many other laws continue. So the problem with the law is that this is not a colonial law. The problem is that it was a law drafted with colonial instincts to protect the colonial regime. What do we mean? When a nation is occupied by another power, by another country, it's natural that the people of that nation will hate that government. They would not like that government. That is why governments like that, which are not popularly elected, we use the expression regime for them. So this was a colonial regime. They knew that Indians did not like them. Indians mostly detested them, even if they pretended to love them, or even if they flattered them, even if they were forced to sing the British national anthem. Indians would stand up, move their lips, but maybe under their breaths, abuse the British. So they knew it. They had to ensure their subjects' loyalty. So this sedition law was enacted, drafted to ensure their subjects' loyalty. Why did it target Gandhi? Because Gandhi was somebody who was not throwing stones, who was not firing bullets. He was giving you no opportunity to use violence on him or just send you to jail for a long time like that. But once you criminalized criticism of your government, then you had the power to shut people up. That is why this law was created. So law was created with colonial instincts and to protect a colonial rule. Now, words used in the law, that is spreading disaffection against the state, shouldn't be found in the statute of any half-decent democracy, and we are more than a half-decent democracy. Of course, if you do not like your government, as large number of Indians don't, at any point of time, you can criticize it, you can attack it, you can campaign against it, you can try to bring it down, you can try to defeat it. That's par for the course. That's normal even in a half-decent democracy, I said. And we take pride in being much better than a half-decent democracy. There's no such thing as a perfect democracy, nor are we, but we are pretty good. If an elected government, any party's elected government, needs a law to protect itself from its own people, it doesn't respect democracy. Don't confuse this for a partisan argument. I am not saying that it's only the Modi government or the BJP government that does this. The fact is, everybody does it. This is a case of, if I may borrow the line from Arvind Kejriwal, jisme sab mile hue hain. And I will tell you how. Because the sad truth in our country is that the only laws which find bipartisan support, where everybody votes in favor of the law, in a completely broken system where it's difficult to pass decent laws, the only laws that find bipartisan support are the worst laws. That is why no government under 14 prime ministerships over 75 years has repealed this law. Many of them have spoken about it, including Jawaharlal Nehru in 1951 or 52, I think he said should be repealed, but nobody has done it because they all use it at some point or the other. They find it useful. So here is the logic. I'm just taking a little digression. Here is the logic why in any publication under my editorship, and I have now been an editor of some kind of or the other for more than 30 years, that any publication that I have edited, I have banned. There are a few things that editors can do on a whim. So one thing that I've done is to ban the use of the word regime to any elected government in India. Because constitutional democracies elect governments. They never set up regimes. So no matter how angry you are, how bitter you are with the government, even if you write, space is available to you in the print to criticize the government in the strongest terms. But if you use the expression regime for the government, we'll edit it out. Because a regime means something else. A colonial power has a regime. A dictatorship has a regime. An elected government is a government. That's why regimes need wretched laws like these. Governments, elected governments, don't. Because where a government can criminalize criticism to protect itself, it is a modern day obscenity. It is not a colonial one. So that is our first argument, that the problem with the sedition law is not its colonial origins, but that in 2021, in a democracy, it is a modern day obscenity. That's why it should go. Over the decades, our democracy should have matured into understanding the distinction between the national interest and between the government interest or sarkari interest. Because sarkar is not same as the government, because sarkars will come and sarkars will go. I just mentioned to you, 14 prime ministers India has had. I didn't even count Charan Singh because he never faced a vote of confidence. So if you include him also, 15, but he couldn't have changed any law, so I counted 14. Now, we should have known by now that the national interest and sarkari interest also often come into clash. So what is in the government's interest may not be in the best interests of your nation. That is the reason democracies are much stronger, much more resilient than dictatorships. Because in democracies, citizens are able to call out their government's flaws and also to prevent blunders. In a dictatorship, nobody has a choice. Can anybody in China get up and say, "Hey, Xi Jinping, what are you doing?" Can somebody even tweet criticizing him on the Chinese version of Twitter? I think it's called Weibo. So the citizens who call out their government or who prevent its blunders in a democracy, they are as patriotic as the rest. It is just that they are smarter than the rest and also braver than the rest. That is public opinion. You got to live with it. Can you, on the other hand, use a law which includes punishment that goes right up to life imprisonment, along with a stigma that would last a lifetime, to silence these critics? That is why it's an obscenity. Now, I will give you examples from various places. This is a multi-partisan argument. It's not a partisan argument. In Uttar Pradesh, the government filed a sedition case against journalists, including Rajdeep Sardesai, Mrinal Pandey. She's much more senior to us. Sedition cases against them for merely tweeting that a farm protester had died of police firing. Whereas the post-mortem, the autopsy later indicated that he had perhaps died accidentally because his tractor overturned, and the autopsy says they did not find a bullet injury. So even if there was an inaccuracy, did it make for a case of sedition? Particularly when the journalists had already either deleted or regretted or corrected what they had said. And if at all you thought that this was going to incite more trouble, then there are simple sections like 505 of IPC available. Why didn't you invoke it? You don't invoke it because those are easily bailable. This has the shock and awe effect that IPC sections don't. Now, we know that in Uttar Pradesh, the state police has not acted on these FIRs, but they stay on the books. So, any day, any of these people irritate the powers that be in Lucknow a little bit more, they can activate this and police can arrive at their doorstep to arrest, to further execute these FIRs. So, this will then remain a sword over their heads, which is the idea. That is why an easily available section like 505 of IPC is not used, because that does not have the same scaring, terrorizing effect. So this also is an instrument of state terror. In Haryana, on the same day that this debate on sedition law was initiated in Supreme Court, more than 100 farmers in Sirsa were charged with sedition for attacking and vandalizing government vehicles, particularly the one carrying Assembly Deputy Speaker Ranbir Singh Gangwar. Again, why the sedition law? There are laws available in IPC, law against rioting, law against obstructing public servants on duty. All these are tough laws, 3, 4, 5 years, they can send a person to jail. But no, you want sedition because that causes terror, strikes terror in people's hearts. Now, awful laws like sedition, UAPA, NSA, is where all political parties are silently complicit. Don't bother about what they say, pious noises they make when they are out of power. Just a couple of weeks back, the Congress government in Chhattisgarh has charged a senior serving IPS officer. He's an ADGP, Additional Director General of Police, GP Singh. He's been charged under sedition law, besides many other laws. And you know why? If I tell you why, you will not know whether to laugh or cry. He's been charged under sedition because they said the state police party that were raiding his house, then he went to the backyard of his house, they found freshly torn shreds of paper. And when they joined them together, they found this dangerous agenda to subvert the government, to bring out the government. I thought we had left those behind in our childhood from Vijay Jasu's capers. But that's the kind of story they made up to charge their own senior IPS officer for sedition. Again, it's a Congress government, not a BJP government. That's the reason I said some mile hue hain. So we can go on. Three examples usually suffice. I usually say three examples is a straight line and that should do. But I can give you more examples because they span across the entire political spectrum. Congress in Maharashtra from the past, when they similarly charged cartoonist Aseem Trivedi for sedition, can cartoons, no matter how good or no matter how bad, right? Is bad cartooning sedition? I don't know. You don't see the cartoons. But he was charged by a Congress government under the sedition law. Rajasthan under Ashok Gehlot in 2003 charged Praveen Togadia for sedition. Why? Because he was carrying sharpest weapons and shouting slogans. Sharpest weapons were Trishuls. Now, there are regular IPC sections for flaunting weapons, if you call it Trishul a weapon, or if you have provocative slogans, there are IPC sections available, but no, you know which law to use because you know which law has effect. AIADMK in Tamil Nadu, they again use the same law against an ordinary singer, Kovan, because he was singing songs criticizing Jayalalitha and the state government. So all of them use it, just that the BJP governments in some states are now printing sedition FIRs like traffic offenses. Which brings us to the next good question the CJI asked the Attorney General. Why is the use of this law so popular? I am paraphrasing. Why is the use of this law so popular when the conviction rate is so poor? 3%, right? Of the 100 people you charge, 2-3% get convicted. Most of them also then acquitted in higher courts in appeal. Because the idea is never to convict or punish. The idea is to ragdo, harass karo through the process. Because actually, even if you look at these Sirsa farmers, if they actually rioted and you had prosecuted them under IPC sections, you had a better chance of getting a conviction than under sedition. But you don't want that because this is the process. You can't ragdo them like that. They'll get bailed out in a couple of days and that will go on forever. In this case, you can ruin their lives because the process becomes the punishment. Because an FIR, once registered, particularly for sedition, will take forever to go off the books. In some cases, for life. That's why with the police under their charge and no accountability, because tomorrow, if you charge somebody for sedition wrongly and the person gets acquitted in the long run after having spent weeks in jail and all the expense and everything. You don't have to pay any price for that. As a policeman, as a politician, you are completely immune. That's the reason the CJI also raised a question about accountability. Because how this works is, because chief ministers now say, beta, zyada mat bolo, itna bologe to sedition dalunga, uske baad mein tum ragde jaoge. Or to those viewers who may not understand Hindi, child, don't talk too much, you make too much noise, I'll file a case of sedition against you and then your life will be ruined. Now, a nation and its government must understand that treason and sedition are not the same thing. They are different things. Yet it remains very fuzzy, made worse now by social media, partisanship and also polarizing TV channels. Some of them merrily and deliberately treat treason and sedition as synonymous. Actually, I should reverse the order. They treat sedition and treason as synonymous. That is not the case. And I see that often happening on Hindi channels, which is ironical. Because the fascinating thing is that Hindi is a very evolved language and very evolved language democratically. So the Hindi words for sedition and treason are actually much more apt and much clearer than the English words. So treason in Hindi is Deshdroh or Rashtradroh, right? That is, if I am betraying my country. Sedition in Hindi is Rajyadroh or Rajdroh, which means I am fighting with my government. You cannot put both of these in the same box, but this is now being lost in the noise of our hyper-partisan debate. The British abolished this law in 2009 in Britain, although in the decades before that it was hardly ever used, if at all. But we cling to it, not just in India, but in our adjoining countries also, which inherited their legal system from the British. You know why? Because for any underperforming government or leader, the first defense is, Desh khatre mein hai, pehle uska mujhe dhyan rakhne do, uske baad mujhe bolna. The country is in danger, let me deal with that, then you talk about performance and all that. In fact, Gully Boy, the movie that Zoya Akhtar made, the lyricist there got it just right in one of his rap songs, which had that line, 2017 hai, desh ko khatra hai, maar do, kaat do, etc, etc. Jo bolta hai, usko maar kaat ke khatam kar do, because it is 2017 and my country is in peril. So anybody who protests, anybody who makes noise, shut them up. It is easy, therefore, to understand why the government so love it. It helps them conflate themselves with the nation. Remember how angry we still get 45 years later because D.K. Barua, then president of Congress party, raised that slogan, Indra is India, India is Indra. What keeps playing out all the time with this love of the sedition law is a derivative of that mindset, never mind who the leader is. But we also must note some progress. When the CJI raised this question that day, Attorney General of India, who was present, he did not immediately defend the law. He did not say everything is all right with the law. That is progress. He said that, look, the law should not be struck down, but you should issue guidelines so it cannot be misused. So that's also an admission that the law is being misused. But all this will not work because Supreme Court has read down this law many times. There was the 1962 Kedarnath Singh case, in the 1995 Balwant Singh case. In fact, it was based on slogans raised after Mrs. Gandhi's assassination in support of Khalistan, against the Hindus, etc., etc. And yet the Supreme Court said those slogans are bad, but that doesn't mean shouting a few slogans does not mean that somebody is trying to damage the nation. And that's why in both those judgments they read down the law. Before that, many high courts have struck down the law, but Supreme Court sustained it in 1962. So in spite of all that, it's being misused. No guidelines will work now. This law is an abomination. In 2021, it must go. Which takes me back to a conversation more than 30 years ago in a village about 50 kilometers out of Peshawar in Pakistan on way to Khyber Pass. These are tribal areas where usually in the best of times Indians were foreigners were not allowed to go, but you know sometimes you were able to get a permit and go to this area. So we sat in a shop. I was traveling in Pakistan for India Today then, I think must have been 1989 or 1990, with Prashant Panjiar, a brilliant photographer. And we sat down in a shop, just chatting, and the shopkeeper, who said he was a congressman, congressi means a supporter of Awami National Party, which means a follower of Bacha Khan or Khan Abdul Ghaffar Khan, then his son, Khan Wali Khan. And he said, ye kya Pakistan mein hota hai? Agar aap zyada bologe, bolo nahi, muh mat kholo. Agar bologe, to Pakistan toot jayega. Agar bologe, to Islam toot jayega. And then he said, mockingly, aray, sheeshe ka bana hai kya mera Pakistan? अरे शीशे का बना है क्या मेरा इस्लाम कि किसी के बोलने से टूट जाएगा. नाउ दैट वॉज ए वेरी इम्पॉर्टेंट लेसन एंड दैट्स द काइंड ऑफ क्वेश्चन आई एम सजेस्टिंग इन कंक्लूजन दैट चीफ जस्टिस ऑफ इंडिया शुड बी आस्किंग द अटॉर्नी जनरल अबाउट इंडिया एट द नेक्स्ट हियरिंग कि शीशे का बना है क्या मेरा इंडिया. इज माई इंडिया मेड ऑफ पोर्सिलेन दैट दिस विल शैटर जस्ट बिकॉज somebody shouts slogans too loudly at it.